In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, it's okay. Hello, everybody. My name is Robbie Ocampo, and I work for the Diocese of San Jose. I'm the Associate Director for the Youth and Young Adult Ministries here. It's a pleasure to be with everyone here from St. Lucie's. You know, I was really inspired when we were singing Your Grace is Enough. And in my spirit, the Lord revealed to me something based on Psalm 23. And in Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want." And then it goes on, and the psalmist says, "My cup overflows." My cup overflows. When I first read that, I thought to myself, what does he mean? What does the psalmist mean by "my cup overflows"? For you to understand what "my cup overflows" means is you have to understand Middle Eastern culture. So for those back in the day living with David, if you were a traveler and you needed somewhere to sleep, you'd knock on someone's door and they would let you in. And they would have to have you come inside and sit down. And your stay was as long as the cup was over, filled. So every time that the cup would be filled, the guests would be allowed to stay. Now, in Psalm 23, when it says, "My cup overflows," what that means is that God's grace is so enough for us that it's never unending. It's never ending. It's always continuous. And so I was really inspired. Thank you so much, Mitch, for singing that last song. My brothers and sisters, I am inspired by the saints and the blesseds and the servants of God in our Catholic faith. Mother Teresa, I want to tell you two stories before we begin. Mother Teresa, one day, brought in a man from the street, and he came inside, and he was filled with wounds all over his knees and all over his arms. And Mother Teresa began to clean him, to take all the wounds, bandage them up, and unfortunately, there were bugs burrowing into his skin. And the man said, "Mother Teresa, stop it. Do not touch me, Mother Teresa." And what did Mother Teresa do? Mother Teresa smiled and smiled and smiled. And the guy continued, "Stop it, Mother Teresa. I do not want you with me. Be gone from me." And what did Mother Teresa do? She continued to clean him, to bandage him, to love him. And the man said, "Why are you doing this to me?" And then Mother Teresa says, "Because my God told me to. Because my God told me to." And the man says, "Well, who is your God?" And she says, "You know my God. My God is love. My God is love." God builds up saints. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt that there are saints in the making here in this church today. Archbishop Fulton Sheen. Do you guys know who Archbishop Fulton Sheen is? Awesome. Archbishop Fulton Sheen, probably one of the most revered and most popular bishops here in America, told the story that 30 years before he, you know, began his ministry in television, he went to a retreat for priests. And in this retreat, a Dominican priest tells him, he says to all the rest of the priests, he says, "You have to understand that I was not always a priest to begin with." And Archbishop Fulton Sheen was like, "Wow, this guy who's leading the retreat for us brother priests has not always been a priest. Okay, let's hear his story." And Archbishop Fulton Sheen begins to tell his story. This man who's leading this retreat, he's a Dominican priest. And in the very beginning, he was married. He had a wife. And when they got married, the wife and the man were not Catholic at all. They were borderline agnostic. And in the midst of their marriage, this man and wife, the wife begins to have a total conversion, a conversion to our Catholic faith. When she has this conversion, she becomes sick and bedridden for 10 years. And in the midst of those 10 years, her husband becomes from an agnostic to an atheist. The day that she died, because she was sick, she had cancer. The day that she died, she told her husband, "Felix, before I die, you will become a Catholic and a priest." And then Felix says to Elizabeth Lisieux, "You must be tripping, right? I'm not going to be a Catholic priest. I have sworn my hatred to God. How is it that I'm going to be a Catholic? I'm let alone an atheist." And she repeats her words again. "Felix, my beloved, when I die, you will become a Catholic and a priest." And then there, she breathed her last breath and died. Now, a few days later, Felix was cleaning out his wife's belongings and found a letter. And that note, that letter said this: "My beloved Felix, 10 years ago, I asked Almighty God to send me sufficient sufferings for the salvation of your soul. By the time that it has come to pass, your soul has been paid for. No greater love no woman hath. No greater love no woman hath." And he knew right there and then that his wife gave up her life for him. And what happened? A total conversion. And that's what love can do to you. When we are encountered by love, love can change even the most ugliest part of ourselves to the most beautiful parts. Make something ugly as a crucifixion into something as glorious as a resurrection. And what inspires me is that the saints, time and time again, has these stories of ultimate conversion. And I wondered to myself, God, what is the common denominator here? What is it that the saints have that I want to have as a Catholic? I fail too. I fall short of the glory of God too, but I want to be there. What I found to realize is this, my brothers and sisters, is that the saints realized that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all desire. That our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is worth it. That our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ satisfies even the deepest hunger, the deepest wounds. He's able to heal it to the point of death, to the point of sacrifice, to the point of embracing suffering for the salvation of a soul. And that is the kind of church that we are in. How beautiful, how wonderful is our Catholic faith. Amen? And we are travelers on this journey, closer and closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the Catechism, it says that we are a pilgrim church. We are a pilgrim church. We are not stagnant. We do not stand still, but we continue to move forward toward our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in hopes that he can transform us as we encounter him day by day by day. And that is exactly what the Magi represent. The three wise men represent that. All of humanity journeying together toward God in the fulfillment of all desire. And that truth will remain in the past, in the present, in the future, forever and ever. I want you to think about your life, and I want you to think, are you happy where you are today? Are you at peace with where you are today? Is there a part of you that thinks to yourself, I can journey toward God more, especially in 2015? I want to be a saint. Is there a desire in your heart for that? Because if there is, I challenge you to heed the call, because all of us were called to holiness. All of us are called to sainthood, whether you believe it or not, that maybe one day your name, your story can be said in front of people and inspire people to believe in the glory and the beauty of our Catholic faith. That you are willing to go forward to God, to journey toward God like the Magi, and present gifts and offerings, not of frankincense or incense or myrrh or gold, but of your lives. And when you do that, something beautiful begins to happen. God takes whatever it is that is in you and makes it utterly beautiful. and people can see it. Have you ever been around someone who was just holy? They emitted something that was so good that you wonder to yourself, what is it that that person has that makes them happy? They're joyful. They shine. It's the Holy Spirit. And I believe this year in 2015, more than ever, we have to be that pilgrim church. That we are all called to holiness, whether we know it or not. That your desire for good grades, your desire to please your parents, your desire to know our Lord, to come to Mass, is all because of that fulfillment of desire. That everything is interconnected because Jesus is the ultimate source and to satisfy our deepest longing. And the saints knew that. And I think that you guys know that too. And if you haven't explored it well enough, I ask you today that when we're in front of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, in the monstrance, that you ask God to soften your heart and to say, Lord, what is it that you want to reveal to me for me to do your will? Because for us to do God's will would be the greatest fulfillment of our lives. Would be the greatest fulfillment of our lives. You know, on Christmas Day, there's something miraculous of Christmas Day, amen? And now that I'm older, I no longer look forward to the gifts. What I look forward to is seeing my little nieces and nephews open up their gifts. I don't know why, but I do. When they open up their gifts, there's joy that comes into their hearts. There's joy that is emitted in their faces. It's as if they found something that is worth the greatest prize. What more for the Magi, for the three wise men, when they were journeying to find our Lord and Savior in a manger, that they knelt down and they brought the frankincense and the myrrh and the gold and said, this is what it's all about. This is what life is worth living for. You, Jesus, are the fulfillment of my deepest desire. My question to you, my brothers and sisters, is this. What gift did you give to our Lord on Christmas Day? A lot of us, we spend hundreds upon thousands of dollars giving gifts to our loved ones. But for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what gift did you give to him that day? What gift did you say, Lord, this is what I have within me, and I want to give it all to you? What was that gift? Maybe some of you might be like, well, Robbie, I didn't really think about it that way, you know, which I think is an opportune moment right now for you to ask, especially in the beginning of this new year, is that just like the Magi, we are a pilgrim church journeying toward God, the fulfillment of our deepest desire. When we're in front of our Lord tonight, when the monstrance is out and our Lord and Savior is present on the altar, I pray that not one of us leaves this church without saying, God, what gift do you want me to give to you? What gift do you want me to give to you? Maybe it could be your smile. Maybe it could be your personality. Maybe it could be your music. That everything that you do would be for the greater glory of God, for the edification of his church. Because what happens when you give your gift to God? People will begin to see the Lord. And so, my brothers and sisters, today, I ask you that question. What is the gift that you want to give to our Lord? Saint Margaret Mary. I'm not sure if you guys know who Saint Margaret Mary is, but Saint Margaret Mary, every night, she would say to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my heart. That would be her prayer every night. I give you my heart. I give you everything. I give you everything. And one night, Jesus approaches her in a vision and reaches out and takes her heart out of her chest and gets his heart and places it in hers. How beautiful is that? That each and every day we can ask our Lord, God, Almighty Father, I want to give you everything, nothing lacking. And I promise you, it might be a little difficult to say because sometimes we are so comfortable in our comfort zone, But God doesn't want us there. He wants us to grow in holiness. Amen? That he wants us to grow in holiness, that he wants us to be full of freedom, the freedom in Christ that can only be attained by doing his will. And so if we pray every day, Lord, let your will be done. Lord, what is it that you want me to give to you? Reveal that to me. Lord, I give you my heart. Rest assured that your life will never be the same. It will never be the same. And if your heart is stirring right now, if there's a part of you that says, I've been broken, Robbie, I've been wounded, there's been, you don't even know what I've gone through. I urge you, do not leave this church without surrendering your whole life to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because God will take whatever it is in you that is wounded, that is broken, the fears, the things that you don't want anyone else to see, your past, whatever it is, and turn it into something beautiful, from the crucifixion to the resurrection. That is what our Lord can do. And we have to believe that today, that God is calling us. If we look at life from the heavenly perspective, where the Lord is, where God is, there will never, ever be a moment like this again. There will never be a moment where all you guys will be sitting here just like this, wearing the same clothes, or the people in the back. There will never be a moment like that ever again, right? What are you going to do with this moment? Will you let it pass? Will you act or will you react? What is going to happen? There will never be a moment like this ever in your life again. And I challenge you and I urge you that you do not leave this church without looking at our Lord later when he is revealed to us, body, blood, soul, and divinity, as we adore him and ask God, what is it that you want? Padre Pio, one of my favorite saints. This guy was amazing. I'm not sure if you know who Padre Pio is, but this man could read hearts. He had such charismatic gifts. It's amazing. And one of my favorite quotes that I try to pray every day is this. This is what he says. Lord, let me live and pray in such a way that not one soul shall be lost. Lord, let me live and pray in such a way that not one soul shall be lost. My brothers and sisters, there are souls entrusted to your care, whether you know it or not. It could be your daughters. It could be your sons. It could be your future daughters and future sons. It could be your nieces. It could be your nephews. But you, by you activating your faith instead of fear, activating faith and living out your Catholic life and doing whatever it is that God calls you to do, you may bring those souls to him. You may bring those souls to him. And sometimes, you know, as Catholics, we like to privatize our faith. Amen? We like to privatize our faith. It's personal. I'm not gonna tell people about my faith in high school or whatever. This is me. This is all me. No. We are a pilgrim church. We are a missionary church with a missionary heart. And our Lord calls us to share our faith. And maybe not all of you are even deep in your faith yet, but that's okay. So long as you have the tiniest mustard seed of faith, God can use you to such high degrees, so long as you are open. So this day, may we echo the prayer of Padre Pio, that is, let me live and pray in such a way that not even one soul, not my mother's soul, not my father's soul, not my cousin's soul, not my friend's soul, not even my enemy's soul will be lost, because I will exercise the faith that is within me. That I will journey always toward my God. And even when I fall, I believe and I know that he will pick me up. No greater love. People often ask, Robbie, if Jesus was here living right now, how would your relationship be, if Jesus was living right now, how would your relationship be with him if he was walking this earth? And I would go so far to say this, is that the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ would be the same as if with the Eucharist. Amen? That Jesus Christ is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the tabernacle, in the Eucharist. So if Jesus was walking this earth, it would be the same as if we were having a relationship with the Eucharist, when we receive him, when we adore him. But sometimes it might be difficult for us to understand that, that God is truly present in the Eucharist, but we ask for the grace every single day. Lord, help me to understand the things that my mind is causing me to turn away from. And I promise you, he will give you that grace. My cup overflows. I'm going to read it to you. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. In meadows of green grass, he lets me lie. To the waters of repose, he leads me. There he revives my soul. He guides me by paths of virtue for the sake of his name. Though I pass through a gloomy valley, I fear no harm. Beside me, your rod and your staff are there to hearten me. You prepare a table before me under the eyes of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Ah, how goodness and kindness pursues me every day of my life, my home, the house of Yahweh, as long as I live. My brothers and sisters, our God is inviting you tonight to a deeper encounter with him. If there's anything that you can get tonight, it's this, is that when we see our Lord present in the monstrance, that is truly him. It's not just a wafer or a host, but veiled within it is truly the body, the blood, the soul, and the divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And his grace is waiting for you to accept it. And when you do, when you surrender, the cup will overflow continuously. My friends, anytime anyone stands for anything good or true, you could rest assured that there will be resistance, right? Anytime anyone stands up for anything good, beautiful, or true, there will always be resistance. But we are not a fearful people. We are not fearful Catholics. We are not fearful teens or confirmandi, what have you. Our God calls each and every one of us. My question to you is this, is will you heed that call? Will you answer and bring gifts? Gifts that even worth more than myrrh, frankincense, or gold, the gift of your lives. So that one day, 1,000 years from now, we could remember you as the saint of St. Lucy's, or you as a saint of St. Lucy's parish. I believe it can happen, and I know and I believe that you can too. Let's end with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, I ask you, Lord, for the grace to open our hearts. As we surrender fully to you, Lord God, tonight, may you encounter us even in the most deepest of darkness. Lord, you have come to set us free. And so I ask you, Heavenly Father, that today, that you may embrace me where it hurts the most, where I'm wounded the most, where I'm most shamed the most, the places where I've hidden for many, many years, that is where I need you to love me today, that I may look upon you upon the altar in the presence of your body, blood, soul, and divinity, and truly say, Lord, let your will be done. And may we too have the courage to say, as Padre Pio said, let us live and pray in such a way that not one soul will ever be lost. Because, Lord Jesus, you are the fulfillment of my deepest desire. That, Jesus, you are the fulfillment of my deepest desire. That when I look elsewhere for things to fill me that will not satisfy or quench that craving, it is only in you that I find my rest, and my cup overflows because your grace is deep within me. We step into your freedom today, Lord, as we echo those mighty words that you are the fulfillment of our heart's desire. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Let's give it up for Robbie. Thank you, Robbie. So as Robbie mentioned, we're going to experience adoration of the Blessed Sacraments, and